what is coming out of your mouth is not, it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And it's not acceptable.
And it's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Like, I see, there is too much at stake. Gentle parenting is cute on Instagram.
Bad behavior is not actually permissible.
Yeah.
It's actually better that I deck you.
Yeah.
Damn, for somebody to break bottle on your head. Do you get, like, it's actually, it might be better.
Yeah. Welcome to
another episode of Mommy Mayhem.
I don't know that I'll ever not be excited at the beginning of these episodes. Honestly.
Me too. Because it feels like a battle like well fought.
You will never know what it took to sit in this chair right now.
We're here. I'm Nicole Chikwe and you are who?
I'm Faye Bello. Nice to meet you. Nice to know. I'm not meeting you. I'm seeing you again.
First of all, mm-hmm. The color is giving.
You know what they say.
It's giving, this whole look is giving like rich.
Is it?
Lagos auntie.
That's what I am, mom.
Oh, rich Lagos mom. Period. A mer.
You know what they say about girls in orange, black girls in orange.
What do they say?
What do they say? There's a they say we pull it off. That's what they say. It's our color.
I know, but I thought it was like a specific saying. But yeah, it's definitely
they
your color.
All I have to do. So no, what's gorgeous. That? What's that? There's a trending sound. All I have to do is wear orange. No, I've forgotten the trending sound.
But a black girl in orange is
black
my favorite
girls in
thing,
orange
period.
Is a whole situation.
How is motherhood treating you today?
Is motherhood treating me today? Today, I'm in my admin bag. Motherhood is making me feel like an admin officer. Currently looking for schools, primary schools for my daughter. I'm doing an Excel.
Nice.
I have an Excel. I never thought I'd have to do Excel.
You're an
again.
Excel mommy?
You know, Nicole, I was not even an Excel staff when they were paying me salary. But here I am in Mermin. Here I'm Mermin with my Excel sheet. Because I was like, I need to make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. So I've gone to like 6 schools. I've looked around. I've gotten their school fees. I've gotten location. I have a column in my thing saying, how did you feel in your spirit? And it's red, yellow, green. And like, I have, you know, some are yellow, some are green, 2 are red. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, I'm definitely trying to like make the best decision I can. But ultimately, it's God that will make the decision. I'm actually going to make a public prayer and beg God, show me in a vision. Show me this child in uniform. Let me know that, okay, God said. Because at this stage, make this decision for me, Lord. It's such a tough one. Like,
it is.
I still remember my primary school. My primary school still has an impact on my life even now. So picking the school that my child is going to go to is driving me crazy. I can't lie. It's not like a joyful thing. There's a lot of anxiety. Feels very much like pregnancy. There's lots of unknowns, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's how motherhood is supposed to do.
That's a scary one, to be fair. But I think you'll be fine. You'll figure it out. Because she has to go to school.
She has to go to school. So somebody's around the corner.
Yeah.
We have to start. I have to wrap it up. So this anxiety only has till this week or this month to run out, run its course, and then we have to make a bigger decision.
Mm-hmm. But you'll make the best decision,
in Jesus' name, amen. I'm very afraid.
I think for me, motherhood is making me feel a little bit ill-equipped at the moment. Oof. I feel like I could be doing a little bit more with my kids in terms of activities, but my kids are in
different places, different phases.
I'm just finding it a little bit hard to align in terms of like a schedule for activities outside of school in this moment. My son's in primary 6. A lot of times he has Saturday schools. He also closes school really late. He has like a super early start. He has to be in school by 7. Like classes start at 7 for him, which means my kids have to be in school by 7, including the girls. And school doesn't start. So I just feel like I'm just in like a weird flux because there's so much going on. And I just feel like I could be doing a little bit more in terms of activities outside of school. I don't know. So I'm just also trying to give myself grace.
Please, because, girl.
Yeah, I'm trying to give myself grace and know that, you know, this too shall pass. I mean, the whole thing about motherhood is like ebbs and flows and scheduling, but something has to align and fall into place.
And I also think knowing you And knowing, and knowing motherhood in general, the fact that it's on your mind means it's on its way to being solved.
Amen. I hope so.
No, I'm sure.
I hope so. I like that. It's on my mind, Lord. So solve it.
It's on its way. God is going to show you a situation, or maybe there'll be an after school club or something.
Something
will pop up and you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I feel you on that, because I feel the same way, actually. I'm a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. And, you know, I didn't even know that they were breaking for school. I kind of forgot that Easter was coming around.
Fair.
I forgot, actually. It's not even like I actually do, you know, in my mind I was like, oh yeah, Easter Monday, I called you go to school and then I'll play with my no, she's home.
So you need to figure that out.
You need to figure out like my birthday, you know, everything. I'm just like, oh, I really, really have to full time mom, don't I?
Yeah,
we'll figure it out. And I'm sure you tell us when you come up with a whole new
by the next situation. Episode I'm like, oh yeah, motherhood's great, I've scheduled everything. It's wonderful. So that's the plan, hopefully
figures. But if it's not, we still extend grace.
Thank you so much. I appreciate still extend that grace. That means a lot. So today's topic on parenting styles
mm-hmm. raising good humans.
I think that for me, right, I've always been very, very, very focused on raising good children. Like, it is one of my KPIs.
I love you because it's out, a KPI,
yeah, outside of doing well in school, mm-hmm. staying, you know, relatively healthy, because I mean, kids, how healthy can they stay when they go to school? You,
listen.
Yeah, so, and I have a 5-year-old in the house and who's always making everyone sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like there's that. But I've always known that it was a priority for me to raise good people, right?
Mm.
What, in terms of like where you are in your mothering journey, how has that been for you?
So I think God has been very kind to me because he has sent me good people. Do you know what I mean? Like, my daughter is naturally loving and kind and sweet. You know, I'm not talking her out of selfishness. I'm not talking her out of, you know, being a bit bratty. Mm-hmm. She's not those things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're only in 4. This is year 4.
Yeah,
I don't want to get ahead of myself because I know the teenagers might come and I'll be singing a different song. But so far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like we are on track. But I can see the signs of where, you know. Mommy's going to have to whip out a little Uncle Do Good. What's that thing they used to call?
Uncle Do Good.
See, because...
to get you in line.
One thing about me, and I hate that I'm... rip me out the plastic. I'm saying this. I'm not against whipping a child though. I'm not against it though.
Wow, we're going straight into
because I was whooped. I mean, I won't whoop you to stupid. Hey, this thing is, I'm nervous, but you know the thing, this has to be the safe space.
Yeah.
I need it to be. So can we just extend me grace for this thing I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had any reason to. I don't smack my kids. Nothing has taken me to that place. But if we have to go there,
mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of a little tussle because mm-hmm. one thing about me, like you said, it is, I don't even care for academic excellence. I care for human beings that were not problems to other human beings.
Right.
Because for me, I have experience. I mean, I've been bullied as a kid. I've seen all types of humans. And it's like, had it been they smacked you enough as a child, maybe you would have learned how not to treat human beings like shit. Like,
there's
some kids that I've experienced, even in my own journey as a human being, and then even, you know, from my childhood, and even the children that I see today, and I'm like, if my child acts like that, it's on sight.
Mm.
Because I'm not, like, and I think that's also the cultural part of our, like, raising children, like, as African parents. You know, the Western world is like, don't do this, don't do that. I'm not, let me say this clearly. I'm not going to destroy you. But if you do get me to that place, I have my fine lines. Discipline is not something I'm going to be, what's the word? I'm not going to be afraid of discipline. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
No, absolutely makes sense. I think for me, especially now that we're in a time and a period where gentle parenting is, you know, pushed and emphasized. Yeah. And I love it. And I think that it's important. And, you know, you want to leave room for children to be able to. I don't want to raise children who are like fearful.
No, no, no.
Yeah, but me neither. I just find that at the same time, right? I'm open to a beatdown.
Listen,
I am because
like we haven't gotten there. Nothing has carried us exactly. There.
But I'm
these children are well behaved.
Yeah. I'm open.
But it might be necessary.
I'm open
for on sure. The journey of raising good human beings. And fear me.
Yeah.
Fear me just a little bit. Just be like,
I read something so profound the other day, like between how when your kids are at like a certain state, I can't remember what age it was, but then like you actually need to parent, like they're not your friends at that point.
It was even Michelle Obama that said it that I watched.
We're not friends. Please, like I'm actually the parent here.
It's so hard, especially with daughters. I want you to love me. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to be your BFF. I want you to be like, but at the same time, it's who am I helping?
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not doing you any service. I'm doing you a disservice if I don't put my foot down to say, actually, this is the boundary. Mm-hmm. Cross it and see what happens.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you also want to raise children who, whilst they're good, they also have an idea of like consequences and that life is not actually, bad behavior is not actually permissible. It's actually better that I deck you down for somebody to break bottle on your head. Do you get like, it's actually, it might be better that we do our skinning in a controlled environment
you can see the ones that okay, they never slapped you at home, that's why you're acting a fool outside. You can actually see when you're grown that okay, somebody dropped the ball somewhere, you should have been told no a couple more times. And like, it's tough because gentle parenting is so, and it's working so foul. Like I'm actually gentle parenting as we speak. I've never had to raise hands on, at least not really like that. There's a slight tap of the bum every now and then. Mm-hmm. But like, when I tell you that I was flogged, I knew not to mess around.
Oh no, I feel
like with now that we're even having the conversation about parenting styles, there's some things I will not take from my parents. But there's some things that we'll have to borrow.
Yeah. So what I was going to ask, I mean, now that we're talking about like gentle parenting, this one's a little bit controversial.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Do you feel like this current iteration of gentle parenting that is pushed on social media is toxic?
Do I think it's toxic?
I feel like I think some of this is unrealistic. And I feel like it's designed to make some mothers feel bad about the way that they raise their children. I think some of it also really comes from a place of like, oh, you know, well, if you were only, you know, speaking to them in a particular way. If you were only, you know, spending more time with them, then they would behave, but they're not. So therefore, means that it's just, I don't know. I just find some of it, not all of it, but I find some of it a bit.
I'll tell you what I'll take from gentle parenting. I like the part of gentle parenting that allows the children have a voice. I want my children to have a voice.
100%.
I want to hear your voice out loud. And 100%. I don't want to drown your voice.
Yep, 100%.
But if that voice is stupid, what do we then do? Do I leave it to be stupid? I'm going to be like, baby girl.
No,
hon. What is coming out of your mouth is not, it's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. And it's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Like I see... There is too much at stake. Gentle parenting is cute on Instagram.
Yeah.
We are in real life. Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to raise actual human beings that I will, by God's grace, live in my young, in my old age. God forbid, I'm going to live very old.
Amen.
And watch my children's children. What are we talking about? But like, when I do leave this earth, I don't want anybody to be like, who left these people for us?
I swear.
There's some people that we know today, and we're like, ah, are they being? Your mommy just thought, I don't need this baby.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, I agree. Like you know Trump. How your mom will tell you, it's not, I will kill you before you kill me.
My mom used to tell me that.
Yeah, say, it's not, you but can't I'm kill like, me.
You cannot, I cannot bring you into this world and you stress me. Yeah. I will kill you before you kill me.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, that can be toxic too.
Of course
I want you to hear us though.
Exactly. Because
I feel like all these things we're saying, it's extremes. It's finding the balance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of whooping, of tapping that ass. I'm yep. not.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm going to, if you try me, speak and it's for it. Your own
and
good.
It's for your own good. Who is it for? It's not for me, it's for you, hun.
Because let's not now act like I am in the business of raising good people.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be the best. You might not come first. I don't even need it. I didn't come first. What do we need it for? You might not come, but you will not be a pro. You will
me,
not
I came
be
a, first, Sha, but I'm.
Oh my God, and you went to A-hole, so they called you in assembly.
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, you look like it. You have that glow.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I used to come last.
Oh my God!
I used to come last in assembly. They call my name.
They'll call your name, like, last three.
Last three.
And you're like, yeah,
I'm
niggas.
Like, word niggas. Y'all niggas in shit.
Here I am today.
With but the man,
men, look that at is us. So used to wrong. Come, so
used to come first, and I used to come last.
I used to come first, so. I was always
at least first. I look at us together. You see that these things don't matter.
I was first three. But that's so I was so wrong. It's one of those things that I felt so
I hate.
It's one
that
thing to like celebrate, that. Okay, top five, that's great. But then why are you okay calling our last three for what though?
And mind you, when I've written about it, but when I got to England with my privileged ass and I went to like this really good boarding school, they did some tests on me.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, I have learning disabilities. I had ADHD and a bit of dyslexia.
Really?
That had gone undiagnosed for 16 years. So I went through primary school, secondary school thinking I was stupid. I wasn't stupid, man.
Are you serious?
I wasn't. I was just like,
you just learned differently.
I learned differently. Yeah. And like also, a child can be academic, athletic, artistic, or musical.
Mm-hmm.
And guess which one I was, love? I'm an artist.
Yeah.
I'm not... I like that, and because of that, I also have some, you know, I'm neurospicy. Shout out to the neurospicy girlies and guys.
Love that for you.
I had ADHD. So ADHD just meant, like, I can remember some things from school. Like, I remember some formulas for mathematics to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know dodecahedron is a 12-sided shape because December, like 12. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I had some things there's some things I still remember. Girl, you can't be, like, I just.
Of course.
Like, no one taught me how to learn how I learn.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught in a way that didn't work for me, and so mm-hmm. I didn't perform well in school, and I used to come last. Very well. If I was in Atlantic Hall for 9 terms, I came last 7 out of the 9 terms.
That is incredible. That's I would call that a winning streak.
Thank you.
I would say you go. Girl.
I think what I even, and that thing taught me a lot. It taught me how not to be ashamed, because do you know what
that's
it is?
That's horrible too? Though. You know, I hope Atlantic Hall is still
they
not stop doing
that.
Hope,
please, it's just,
that's so
just
raz,
dead that
guys.
Key. I beg
it's
stop
so,
it.
It's so raz. Stop.
Just end
no
it
problem.
Now.
I and things I enjoy, don't get me wrong, I'm very much about celebrating excellence.
Celebrate excellence.
Because
but
I know we're also kind of in a space
don't shame
and time
people
where,
into success. Don't shame yeah. people into as a mode of motivation. That's counterproductive.
That's stupid. But I was going to say, like, I feel like we're in a space and time where, you know, everyone is celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone gets like the certificates
yep.
of participation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're losing that edge where you're training kids to be competitive.
Absolutely.
Right? Because again, we're still talking about like
raising
good humans. You want them to be competitive.
Yeah.
Top five, sure. You know, you came first. Mm-hmm. That is a thing. I believe in positions.
Please,
because if you come first, that's fine. But then bottom
I still,
three,
I still
announcing
think
bottom anna- three
announcing,
is raz.
Announcing it is
raz.
Is really.
In assembly, that is so raz.
Imagine
it
too. All of us would gather.
Yeah.
The whole school. This is your school too.
Ah. Really? No, that's
I don't
horrible.
It's barbaric.
I hope, yeah,
it's barbaric.
It is.
these last five.
Top three and last five. Ah, that's
we did harsh. Top five last three.
Yeah. Ah! No, that's rubbish. That's sad.
And like in my class, in my defense, all the smart people were in my class. Like all the smart people were in my class. Everybody in my class was super smart. And then it was me, my ADHD ass, no understanding.
Who was also super smart, but just learning differently.
And that's absolutely fine. And that's why I have anxiety. Because Nigerian schools don't have that nuance of, okay, how do you learn? Can we meet you where you learn? Mm-hmm. When I got to England and I was passing, I was so, like, I got there and I was like, first of all, I got there, failed the first term. And they were like, wait a minute. The way they held my hand to be like, not on our watch. I think, I remember crying because I'm like, damn. I'm not stupid.
Right.
No one just gave a damn. And that's why even just choosing a school for my kid is terrifying, because I know the struggles of feeling like you didn't know and struggling to study like everyone else and not being able to concentrate on a book. I couldn't read a page because it just wasn't fun to me. And my brain only works when it's fun. So the only time I remember doing really well was at A-levels when, guess what, Nicole, I got A-stars. I got like A-stars at my A-levels. And it was crazy because I remember studying for psychology, my A-level, psychology A-level, and we sang songs. I still remember those songs.
Wow.
And that's how I was able to do my exams, because we made the notes into like raps and stuff, and it's like my brain was like, this is so fun,
right?
And I did so well, and it's like, I'm not
no
one just gave a damn. And like, so now that I have children and I'm putting them out in the world, I'm like, this same understanding mathematics of that year is what
it's
they
the same
to,
thing though. Hey, it's the same thing.
Understand, we go see, we go, everything, nothing has changed
thing. It's the same thing.
Do you know what I want? I want a league table for schools in Nigeria.
I feel like I
No, that's based on academic excellence, based on students' experience.
Okay, yeah, no. I want, no, we like, don't have the, what's that. The and best? I think there are too many different systems to I be want able to one, effectively, you know, collate something. Maybe we should.
We will.
Mommy Mayhem League.
We're going to go to the schools and decide and put all the primary schools, secondary schools.
That would be nice.
You would love it, wouldn't you?
I think that would be an interesting resource. Watch out for that.
We're going to work on that.
Feel like you were, I mean, in terms of, you know, being creative, like you said, and like struggling with learning, do you feel like the parenting that you experienced helped you be who you were, like creatively?
Love, shout out. Oh, I'm about to call out my mom and dad. They did their best. Like in that time, they didn't have the tools.
Right.
They didn't have the tools. It wasn't, academic excellence was the only thing. Shout out to Wizkid, Davido, Natosi, and all these other people that have made being an artist a success story.
Right.
But you telling your dad that you wanted to do something outside, or like, I wanted to be a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, over my dead body, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. No child of mine is going to study photography. What is that?
And I can understand that.
And I get that. Mm-hmm. And I totally understand. And I think it's fair enough, you know, gathering pounds to throw at photography in 2009-08 would have been crazy. Mm-hmm. So I understand him saying that, but there was my parents didn't understand me for a very long time. They struggled to, and I can imagine that for them, it must have felt like a failure. Because when you have a child when you have children, because my brother and I, we both had the ADHD. My youngest brother, that's our shining star. That one is academic excellence.
Excellence.
And like my brother Damien and I, we struggled. And it's like, you know, when you have two for two, it's like, what are we doing wrong? And it's like, it wasn't you guys. Because when I look at all of us now, my brother and I, that we're the more creative ones. We were just different. Our brains just worked differently.
Right.
And, you know, and there was a parent that gave us the ADHD. The parent will not be named and shamed, but they didn't also have that deep understanding of themselves.
Right.
In that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's later that said parent would now tell me, oh, I actually struggled with, I'm like,
And you're letting me know this now?
At 30, what is this information? What am I going to do? But like, there was a bit of like there was a shame thing there where I don't want to admit that this child gets this thing from me. I'm just going to see this thing in myself and just shout it away. I don't even know. Mm-hmm. They did their best, Sha. Mm-hmm. There was, I won't say that they fully understood how they did, but they kept going. And I think it's because my mom taught me something. She was like, what you don't know how to, if you can't fix it, you talk to Jesus about it, because guess what? He knows. Mm-hmm. So she would really wrestle with God in prayer about us. And I think I am the product of those prayers. My brothers and I are the product of her prayers.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, baby.
I think for me, I don't know, it's a little bit different. I was one of those kids who did well at school really early. Mm. Like I was one of those kids. Nah. I was one of those kids. I breezed through primary school. I skipped two classes in primary school. So I ended up in secondary school when I was 8. And I went to boarding house. So I ended up at Ibnadion when I was 8 years
you
old
say?
In boarding house. Yeah. So I was just one of those kids.
So I was looking at her like, what did you say? What did you say you just did?
Yeah, girl. Yeah, it was a mess. So
my God.
Yeah. So one of those kids. Oh. And of course, like, you know, my parents wanted me to continue down that path, and especially being like, you know, smart or whatever, but I have always been a creative. Mm. And even I didn't really want that to kind of come through, because I wanted to focus more
on the academics.
And I found that as I got older, I started to struggle with that a lot. I wanted to be a doctor. Mm. My parents never enforce, like, any career was fine, just go and do well at something.
But when you're so good at school, yeah, it was, yeah, tell you you can,
yeah,
be a
of
doctor.
Course. So I wanted to be a doctor, and then my favorite uncle who passed away was a doctor. He was a nephrologist, actually. So I wanted
what
to be
that?
a kidney doctor, especially kidney, yeah,
kidney specialist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I wanted to be. And then when I became like a teenager, I started to feel like, oh, maybe this isn't quite for me, but I was still struggling with it. And anyway, long story short, you know, 36 year old, and I'm doing podcasts.
The thing is,
and I'm doing content, I'm doing TikTok.
The Bible says that God will use the foolish things of this world.
Listen, and God is
using you. Are you not a problem solving?
Using me in
spec.
Yeah,
look at you.
In just a way that I
spreading
would have
joy.
Never.
Yeah.
Thank you. In a way that I never anticipated or predicted for my life. I was going to be. When I even left, like, medicine, I was like, okay, I'm going to be a finance girlie. So my first degree was in economics. My BSc is in economics. My MSc is in finance. I'm like, yeah, this is it.
And then you have a master's as well.
Yeah, yeah. My MSc is in, yeah, my master's is in finance. I have a certificate in business accounting from Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. I'm just one of those people.
She's just
and
qualified, honey.
Thank you. But I still could not. Like, I just found that I couldn't shake it off. And I knew that I wanted to do something, but I wasn't really sure what it was. And then in the middle of even trying to figure out that, I met my husband. And then I was like, okay, great. So now I don't have to think about that. Like, I just think about this and then just focus on getting married and having kids. And, you know, I jump into that. And like I said, I had my son, and I'm like, now I have to face myself because I don't feel fulfilled.
You,
and just trying to, so
you know,
I
go back to that. What year was it that you left yourself? What year was that? 20?
When I leave myself,
when you got married. And
when I got married, 2012.
Yeah. So you go back to 2012.
And try and pick up from there. So I get really nervous about, like, even with my kids, because my daughter is... My first daughter, Adarima, is so artistic.
Oh, bless.
She's a creative through and through. Like, she loves stories. She's interested in, like, art and drawing and things like that. And, you know, I also, even with my own experience, this is even with my own experience and seeing my own trajectory and the things I've been able to do and achieve as a creative. And when I say I'm a creative, I'm not an artist or I'm not a musician, but I know I have a story to tell and I'm interested in storytelling and I'm able to express myself through all these mediums. Mm-hmm. I'm living it, but even I'm looking at my daughter, I'm like,
not but, you too.
But doctor now,
come
like,
on.
Or but accountant,
come on,
something.
Be a lawyer.
Because, yeah, and it's, I don't know if it's me just trying to unlearn the limitations that I had put on myself.
That's
and even now, like I said, with all these things, you know, people talk to me all the time about how because I'm doing this, people feel like they can do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like a viable means of earning a livelihood. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can build a career out of it and you're able to do all these things. I have like, I'm hearing it. I have like a head knowledge of it. But I feel like I'm still wrestling. And this is me just being completely honest. Girl,
speak on it.
I feel like I'm still wrestling with like some shame around it. Really? Like, man, I'm supposed to be on Wall Street. What am I doing here? I'm proud. Again, like, I'm so proud of everything, you know, and I love being a content creator, and I love, you know, I'm exploring writing a bit more now, which is really exciting, and it's what I always wanted to do. But I think I'm still wrestling with like vestiges of the shame, and I just get nervous that I don't want to place those limitations on Adarima or any of my kids. But I also wonder, like, if at 17 my child says, I've decided I don't want to go to university. I'm going to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
What is that going to look like at that point? I don't know. Exactly. I don't know. But me, am I not doing it?
You will go to university. Exactly. Like,
my kids are looking at me like my kids see me. And I do. And that's the thing. Please, let's even get even deeper. All my work is at home. Oh. So I'm filming at home, you know, and I see my kids are like, oh my gosh, you know, this is great. So exciting. Oh. Like, they want to be in my videos. And I'm like, ha.
Go to school.
Go to school, lo. Chemical engineering is where you need to be. So I don't know.
Oh, girl.
Yeah, so
for what is worth, Sha, I just want to also just say that, I mean, I do understand. Hear me when I say I understand that thing of the shame that you must feel. I understand where you're coming from, but mm-hmm. there is no reason for you to feel ashamed.
Yeah. It's like,
it's crazy that you're even saying to me.
Yeah, like, it's just, again, like, I'm proud, though. I'm, like I said, you're doing super proud, so, super like, confident.
The space you've created.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not done talking.
Sorry. Talk to me, pour into me. I'm ready.
The space you've created is why I'm sitting next to you today. That's like, you've done something with your motherhood and your existence, like, what powerful. You've done for me, like, I can only speak for me, just watching you got married at 24.
Yeah,
you got married to Nato C when he was Nato C Super C.
Mm-hmm.
Getting lost in that and then giving birth in that and mm-hmm. then having three children through that and mm-hmm. that, you mean to tell me that when people say Nico Chikwe now, they think of you as a person,
right?
Not a wife or a mom. They think of you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
That is work. That is intangible work that no one sees. But because I'm a mom, I know what that cost you. I can only imagine.
Right.
And it's because of that that I was like, I have to have you as a friend, because
thank you.
I know what that costs you. Like, girl, I'm in it. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to wrestle myself out of all I'm trying to wrestle myself out of all these. Out of all these other roles that we play, and to find someone that has done the hard thing and has come out looking you look unbothered, you look like it costs you nothing. Oh, and I know it costs you everything.
It surely did.
So please, that shame you're feeling, maybe you keep it in your pocket.
Yes, I'm trying. I'm still, you know, and again, like, when I finally go to therapy, you know, I told you I still haven't been to therapy.
I feel like we should, anyways.
That is one of the things. Honestly, it's on my list this year.
I'm a therapy junkie. If I have $1 million now,
it's just there.
You half of it is going to, I'll just be like, how much more can I go in?
Exactly. She's come and live with me. Hey, let's just be talking. Maybe she should move down.
I'll keep her. I'll sit.
No, I can't wait. And I just feel like, yeah, maybe that's where my breakthrough is. Because there's still some stuff to unpack.
For sure.
That I'm still working through in the internal.
I will also say something my therapist taught me.
Okay, talk to me.
Speak to yourself like you're speaking to your child.
I do that. Oh, no, Faye, that one for sure, I do. And I think that that's even one of the main reasons why, you know, this version of Nicole exists. Because I've been so intentional. I had to do it because no one else would do it. No one else
would
do it.
Can we speak about how mothers have to mother themselves?
Ooh.
Because nobody actually mothers a mother. Yeah, mother has to mother herself.
That's true.
Everybody has opinions on what the mother should do, but mm-hmm. you don't actually sit with. There was a video I saw that moved me to tears. And it was a best friend meeting her mom, her friend who had just given birth.
Mm-hmm.
And she ran to the friend and hugged the friend and said, I'm so proud of you. Didn't acknowledge the baby. I sat there with the friend and was like, you did it. I'm like, why is this making me cry so much? It just, when you become a mom, the shift is to the child. And they forget you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody actually, I'm now notorious for, if you born, congrats, I'm buying you a gift.
Yep.
Because I know you're doing everything you can to keep that baby alive. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care for your baby right now. Mm-hmm. I love the baby. Mm-hmm. We'll meet, we'll jam. But in this first few months, I'm here for you, mom. Right. Because I know it's costing you everything to even just respond to my DM or my message or whatever, or pick up this call right now. So yeah,
I love that. And I love what you said about like even dealing with unwarranted opinions from people regarding motherhood.
Ooh.
And like my question to you is what that's been like, because there's information coming in from everywhere. And the thing is, because there's also no manual, you're trying to learn from other people, but at the same time, like how do you like see so, through I mean, what's important to take in and what's not?
I remember when my... what's important to take in? Let me just even start with... I remember when my daughter was born and my mom and like family and everyone came over and everybody had an opinion, girl. And because I was my first baby, I knew nothing. And I sort of like was a sponge and I was listening to everything and everyone. So I went to America to have my children, which I... Do what you have to do for Kwali, but one day this Nigeria, you will favor us that we won't have to leave this place to born, because Amen. It's not nice
Amen.
To leave your house and to be somewhere.
You know, because I've had my kids, sorry to just very quickly, I've had my kids in, I had my son in America, I had my daughter in London, and I had Soso in Etiosawon. Etiosawon VI. And having a child in Nigeria, hey,
you need to go home. You just get to cross
so
the road.
So tasty.
Just enter one.
Just
Uber,
enter. Just enter. And then my home? My nannies are waiting for me. They've already cooked the pepper soup.
Jesus.
Everything is. Oh my God! I could not believe.
Because I
it
did,
was too.
Because
sweet.
I did 3 months out of the country with Kishi, because there was all kinds of I had him in December. I left in November. I wasn't back to. I didn't come back to May. The time I came back, the boy was damn near crawling.
Mm.
What my eyes have seen.
Mm-mm, mm-mm, mm-mm,
anyway, mm-mm. Back to what we were saying. Mm-hmm. On unsolicited advice, my mom and I would get into it, and she'd be like, Faye doesn't listen to anybody. She only listens to all these stupid people on Instagram telling her what to do. And my thing is, if God wanted you to read, let me near the mic to my mouth. If God wanted you to raise this child, he would have put the baby in your womb. As the baby came from my womb, it's my responsibility. Let me do as I so please. If I do mistake, leave me in my mistake.
Mm.
If I get it right, clap for me that I got it right.
Mm.
I honestly feel like moms need to, we need to figure it out ourselves and give us the space to do so.
I think so.
I cannot leave my baby for you and sleep. I tried it. It didn't feel natural. It doesn't feel natural. I can't leave this new person. I'm trying to figure you out. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get to know the baby too.
Mm-hmm.
You were a stranger for 9 months in my stomach. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me understand. I remember one time my mom and I, when we had my son, she told me this baby hates the dummy. This baby hates dummy. I sat with the boy one day like this. I spent 24 hours. My whole thing was, does this baby really hate the dummy? Because I would put the dummy in his mouth and he would fall asleep. She would put the dummy in his mouth and it would fall out of his mouth. And in her mind, he was rejecting it. So I sat with my child and I looked and I was eyes to heaven too. Like, God, please help me. The child so wanted this dummy that he put it in his mouth. He sucked it that it flew out. So it's not like he didn't want it. He so desperately wanted
the passion
of for the this dummy that will make it fly out. That somebody that's not as patient with him as a mother.
Mm.
Shout out to the grandmother. I hate that I'm putting my mom on blast like this, because she did come through for me.
Of course
she did.
She did
come through
of
for me with
did.
My... But like there was just always that. And it happens. And when I speak to a lot of my friends who become mothers, the biggest person you are battling, it's always your own mother. Because your own mother is looking at you like, but you're my child. What do you know? But you have to... Grandmothers have to give their children room. Mothers that are watching their children become mothers have to give them room and equip them with validating words
mm-hmm.
to make them feel like, because we don't know. Mm-hmm. There's so much that can go wrong in that moment. All I need is for someone to say, good job, girl. You're doing it. Well done. I'm proud of you. Shout out to you. My mom, I mean, in fairness, my mom, she did give me that. You know, I breastfed my children for longer than she did us. So she was like, ah, but that one, I clapped for you.
Oh my gosh. Why is it? I just feel like it's such a generational thing. Mm. Like our moms, because my mom is not big on, when I had Marubi and I was struggling with breastfeeding. I was struggling with breastfeeding. That's she used to look at me and she's like, what are you doing?
Stand up from this
place.
Give
this boy this formula and carry on with your life. But there's something I feel like that happened with millennials. And it's like, no, I just have to push through, you know, breast is best. But I feel like we're so unforgiving on ourselves.
Fed is best. I had to come to that harsh realization.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Because it almost cost me my mental health.
It cost me mine.
When I had Marubi, like I said, I was in America, but he had like a really poor latch.
Oh, you told me about
this. He had a poor latch. So I was struggling. He was struggling. He'll be crying. I'll be crying. You know, I'm in pain. My nipples are cracked, bleeding. It was a mess. And so before we left the hospital, I was supplementing with formula, but I was still trying, you know, to feed when I could, and I was trying to pump. And I remember when I had to take him to his first hospital visit in America, they make you go to see a doctor 2 days after you have the baby for a wellness check or whatever. Cool, no problem. Already such a traumatic thing to have to do, pack up a child and put them in a car. Like, there's just so much.
You too, you're wearing diaper, baby's exactly, wearing diaper, everybody's wearing diaper.
Mess.
God help us.
Got there, and then the doctor had asked me, oh, you know, how's feeding going? You know, and I'm like, doctor, I'm really struggling. But I've been supplementing with formula while I try and figure this thing out. It's been 4 days or 5 days at that point. 5 days at that point. Mm. My milk hasn't really come in. So I'm still pumping and seeing, but, you know, I'm putting him to the breast. But at the same time, like I'm still supplementing with formula. And he goes, okay, well.
He, Abby.
Of course it's he.
He.
He goes, well, if you wanted to, like if you really wanted to, you would. And then he just kind of moved on to another subject. I was like, if I really wanted to, I would. You're a medical professional. I'm telling you, I'm struggling with this thing. It's not even, let me be, oh, I'm sorry you're going through this. What can we do? Have you seen a lactation specialist? There's so many areas we could have jumped to.
If you really wanted to,
because, you know, obviously I don't really want to be a mom, right? I was just crying like small, you know, I was trying to keep it cute. But then I hadn't slept for 5 days. The tempo started to increase in nature of the cry. And then, you know, next thing I know, I'm wailing.
Gosh, you're wailing.
I'm wailing in the office. The doctor is not like, oh, you know, just excuse me 1 second. He steps out of the room. I'm still there wailing. Nato's there. He's just like, I don't know what to do. Are you okay? Please try and stop crying. You know, because he's also trying to figure this thing out. He's a first-time dad as well. Yeah. And, you know, I'm crying. A nurse comes. She takes Marubi from me just so, you know, we're going to want to do, like, some other checks. I'm crying in the room. Another nurse comes into the room. And she's like, oh, you know, let her talk to me. And then I step out of the room with her. And she was like, look, you need to get it together quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because they will say that you're in the middle of a mental health crisis.
Oh.
And they won't release this child to you. And I was like, wait, how did I go from not being able to breastfeed to losing my baby to the foster care system?
Oh my God.
So I start crying even harder. She's like, I understand, but you need to get it together. You need to shh. So I was like, okay, I'm not trying to keep it together.
Hey.
I go back into the office. The doctor is like, oh, how are you feeling? I'm like, yeah,
great.
No,
I feel,
you know what? I love breastfeeding.
I don't know whether I'm going to give it a shot.
And I just remember leaving the hospital. They had to speak to my mother. Like, oh, do you have any help at home? I said, yes, my mom is there. They said, okay, we need to speak to your mom. Called my mom. And my mom's like, yes, you know, she's at home. This was in the flat we had rented. Yes, she's there. And they go, okay. And then they release me. And I just remember, like, I'm already going through such a hard time. So this is the toughest thing I've ever had to do. And for you to impose your opinion on me in that way was devastating to me. Like, it crushed me. And, like, because of that and a couple more things that happened. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why. It's around breastfeeding as well. I was in Abuja. I was in my mother-in-law's house. And one thing I'll give, like, my family, like, my mother-in-law, my mom, my sisters, like, they've always been, you know, amazing, just giving me the room to do things the way that feels natural to me.
Yeah.
My issue has always been with other people. I was in my mother-in-law's house. She had a guest. She hadn't yet come down. The guest was in the living room. I was in the living room. I was feeding my Ruby from the bottle. And the woman comes, she literally comes up to me, waddles, puts her hand down my top.
Eh?
Puts her hand down my top, brings out my boob.
Eh?
Brings out my breast. And it's like, the boy needs breast. Why are you doing this?
Is this your family member?
No, I never met her.
You don't know her?
Nope. I don't even know her name.
Nigerians, wait. Let's just...
She put her hand down my top.
Why do people do this?
Like... Again, like, I'm already still trying to manage the feeling of failure that I wasn't really able to breastfeed. I have just come back to Nigeria. I'm now here. Again, I'm still exhausted, still very much in trenches. And this woman sexually assaulted me. I'll say it. Yes.
Because that's if what it was. That's what breast, it was.
You've sexually assaulted me.
Without consent, we don't know
come
you.
Come on. No, I don't know you.
Even then, upon you
put your hand down my top, she dare brought you. Out, like, she brought out my boob. And again, one of the more, why are you enforcing your opinion? You breastfed for 4 years. However, it's good. I love it for you. Because breast really is best. But, hon, don't touch my boobs, please. Don't touch my boobs.
First of all, I'm so sorry that was your experience.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
I know the thing, like, postpartum is so dicey for me. I've learned, like, with postpartum, 1 year, it actually takes 7 years, actually. So you are just coming out. Well, you have 2 to go. I have 6 to go. It takes 7 years to fully heal from
postpartum.
And,
oh, okay.
And
I believe it.
Yeah. And but that first few months, you're like wet clay. Any little mismanagement can lead to fuckery.
Yeah.
It can lead to years of us trying to figure shit out. Like,
yeah.
I'm so pissed off in my spirit that was your experience, Nicole. I don't even know what to tell you. Like,
yeah.
I think if you've been through it, you understand why I can't just, give me 5 minutes.
It's okay. You're yeah. Because even thinking about it, and it's so crazy. It was 11 years ago, but it's still, I feel her hand. Like, I remember exactly where I was. I remember exactly how it felt. It was
horrible. We all just now please just understand something? There is no right or wrong way to mother. There is only let the mother do what the mother is going to do.
Please.
Mother truly knows best. Please. If I'm the one that burned the baby out of my uterus, best believe that between me and God and the father that put the baby there, we'll figure it out. Like,
and if we can't, that's fine. And if we'll we can't, ask you.
We'll ask you. But if we don't ask you, shut up.
Please shut up.
Actually not okay. Like, this unsolicited, like, you know, there's some, like, you know, even with, like, grandparents, like, parents can speak. Like, I don't really, you know, like, what are we going to do? You're not going to tell your mom, shut up. Like, she has to speak. Like, she has to give her opinion. But let's get to a place where it's starting to, I don't even know how to say what I'm saying. My body's hot.
Your body's doing you somehow.
I'm just like, why would anybody do that to anybody?
Tell me things you've learned from your parents and things that you have rejected from your parents.
So, my parents have an excellent, they have this, there's something they've done with, we have good family values, like, in the sense that we, you know, it's five of us, it's me, myself, me, my brothers, two brothers, and my parents, so five of us, you know, I think it's something I've not noticed with a lot of people, where not all the kids want to come home and be around their parents.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are my homies. Those are my BFFs. I really, truly love them. I would go hang out with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would sit with them for hours. I would leave my children. I would go leave my husband and go and hang out with my, those are my friends. They're my friends.
Right.
Genuinely love them outside of, you know, the parents that they are to me. And I think the fact that I can say that means they did something right with raising me. I know my mom did an excellent job of finding that balance between being the disciplinarian but also being the friend.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and I, because of how similar we are, it just came naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And I am his only daughter, so my dad is that's the homie. Like, I love my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm 32 saying that, I would go on holiday with them, just us, and it's not awkward.
I would love that.
I love hanging with my parents. So I feel like that they've gotten right in terms of whatever it is they did to make me still want to be around them in my older years. Copy and paste. I pray the same for me and my kids. I want them to come to me with advice and know that they're safe. Like, I feel safe with my parents, even though we still have the odd one on butt heads every now and then, but like, they have built a safe space for me. When I'm pregnant, like moving, I don't even leave my husband, everybody bye. I would sleep on the bed. I bounce my daddy, I sleep on the bed with my mom. Like, they are my guys. What I will not take is, I think, and I don't think it's unique to them, I think it was their generation, they had this thing where they would look over their shoulders to see what somebody, and then like, you know, like, what is going on over there? What is the norm? What is society? I won't make society a third parent. That's it. I won't make society and their perspectives and their opinions my child's problem. Nobody else matters. If you and I and God are aligned, run it.
Wow,
that is exactly what I will do differently, because
that is so
I can't
powerful.
Tell you how many times I was not allowed to do something but you're a girl, what people say, you know. That was something I heard a lot as a child, and I just feel like it's unique to their generation. I think that's one of the things that being a millennial African has done for me. We don't send anybody. I don't care for your opinion. I'm very okay to disappoint you in that space. The most important thing for me when raising these children is to sit patiently and decipher, who are you? Who's God calling you to be? How can I be a steward of that? I'm not trying to tell you who you should be, what you should do, and can't. I don't think I will ever tell my children, you can't do that. I will probably say, have you prayed about that? What's God saying? And I'm trying to raise children that hear from God, so that when I ask you,
important,
and you tell me you and God have talked, I can say, okay, then if that's how you feel, I back you 100%. I also pray for the wisdom to navigate that, but because I can imagine that it's also easier to just go by society standards. It's harder to be in the, you know, there's so many variables that can exist when we decide to just go by our own, go with the flow. But that is one thing I've promised myself I would do for my children, because I feel like if it was done to me, I would have probably reached this level of excellence maybe a lot younger.
Okay, heavy on the level of excellence, honey.
Period.
I think what I'm still trying to think about what I would reject from my parents' parenting. I'm going to sit with that. I need to think. I need to think about it.
Don't rush it, because I have been thinking about it.
I need to think about that. But in terms of what I've learned, I've learned about the impacts that words can have. And I will say that in a positive way regarding my dad in particular. Faye, my dad has always made it clear to me that he was in love with me.
Aww.
That I am just the love of his life, the light of his life. And I would show up in the world knowing that I was so deeply loved.
Ooh.
Knowing that I was so smart. I was so beautiful.
Very big on the affirmation.
He was so big. My dad poured into me and you know, my siblings. Like, there's nothing you cannot do. You're so smart. You're so hardworking. Like, you're so... And that's how, literally, when I was younger, and I think it also added to the reasons why I was able to do so well. I had, like, my little conflicts, like, of, you know, hey, do you want to be creative? But, you know, just, it meant so much. And one of the things it really did for me was, I wasn't really looking for validation from anyone. I just felt free to be myself. And one of the key things I was looking for in a husband, in a partner, is someone who'll be able to give that to my children, because I know what it did for me.
Yes.
And I know what that all the things that isolated me from, because I wasn't looking for boys. I wasn't looking for, like, I was okay not going to the parties. Yeah. I was okay to just be at home with my parents.
Yeah.
Not to say that that's like the only way. Of course, if you're like social or whatever, that's fine. But I knew what it did for me. And I wanted that so bad for my kids. And God is so faithful, because
that's the way
the way that's what I got is crazy. So that's like the main thing I learned. And I just feel like that. And then another thing I learned, I would say, from my parents is like how important it is to be friends with your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
So even moving away from like parenting, I guess, even just being
buddies,
being friends. So I knew that I was going to look for a friend. And the main thing, I guess, is what your kids see is what they are going to look for and what they're going to emulate. So I think that's what it is for me.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is for me. And being, and I think, yeah, the main thing for me with raising good humans, like with, you know, Marobi in particular, and I'll say this because, you know, people kind of talk about him in terms of being like kind and courteous and just, you know, service, because he really is. Oh, he's so fun, he's so sweet. Adarama too is amazing. Soso is feisty as hell. Soso is like, you know, one man riot squad. But with I think Marobi is all the things that he is, not because I've taught it to him, but I hope he sees it in me, in the way that I speak with people and the way I show up in the world. And I believe that, like, that's the main thing when it comes to raising good humans. Know the thing, just being a good human.
The thing is, that's it. Because even with the people I've emulated in terms of the people whose upbringing styles I've... Like, when I meet someone and I'm like, somebody somewhere, it's always the parent that was an example.
Right.
And it's the example that you lead. Like, you can't tell a child to be a good person.
Yeah.
They learn it by watching you.
Yeah.
So the work is really on us.
Yeah.
And as much as the raising of the children, you know, there's only so much you can do. You yourself have to be a good person to raise good people.
And amen. That is the
homework.
And that is just really the assignment. And that is the
homework.
You want a good child, but are you a good parent?
Period. Are you a good person? What do they see? How do you relate with your domestic staff?
Exactly.
How do you relate with your husband? Are you, how are you? How do you work through difficult times? How do you speak to people? Are you respectful? Are you kind? Are you gentle? Like, that is what they see. That is really,
and that's what they'll emulate.
That's what they'll emulate, or they'll run away from.
Period. In your house, like, of course, still on parenting, would you say that, like, the structure between yourself and your husband is super traditional? Parenting-wise, like, okay, so I am man. I buy house.
Oof.
You are woman.
You raise children.
And cook me food.
Do you know why this is actually really funny? My husband has this, like, he started calling me a contemporary wife for absolutely no reason. And his thing is that you can't tell Faye to do shit. Like, you can't tell her. She's going to do what she wants. And I'm trying now to be... So here's the thing, right? I'm no longer in the hypothetical life. I'm now living it.
Right.
I have two children. I have a home to run. And my husband and I are raising these children together. And we're running a home and we're building a life. Currently... As it irks me to say, I am the one at home raising these kids. Do I love it? I do not. I want more from myself. At least I do. And I know I'll get more. But in this moment, I have to be home
with
my four-year-old and my one-year-old.
And if that's where you have to be, then that's where you're supposed to be.
Yeah. I've looked at this. I've sliced and diced it. I am the one that this has to. And it's not because my husband can't or he doesn't want to. But I'm not making the money he's making. He's making some good money. Go and do your thing. Buy me a house. Come on. And so that's where we are. And it's not because anybody took up role of, yes, I am man. But life has just done it that way. And absolutely. One time I will be in my bag in a way that, okay, now I can't be home with these kids. So we'll figure it out then. But, you know, and honestly, I think if you marry the right person, you find a way to make it work. Like, I am not in a situation that is like, I feel stifled. I just, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I am the, that's just how it is today.
That's how it is today.
Today, exactly. Let's see, because when we just got married, I think it was very 50-50, but mm-hmm. with children, you women have to sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to sacrifice. Somebody does. And most times, I don't know how, but God, in my situation, God blessed Niff as my children were coming in a way that we couldn't ignore. Mm-hmm. We're like, why don't we just see what God is going to do with you?
Yeah.
And God is doing excellent things with him. So I'm just going to sit at home. And I had to be like, you know what? I love it for him mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see his career do all the wonderful things. And mine is still, I'm not like completely at home. I'm running a business mm-hmm. from the comfort of my home, mm-hmm. but I'm running the business and I'm doing my thing and I'm here on a podcast and, you know, life is good. But,
amen. I think right now I would say it's 50-50. Nato's a very involved parent.
I can't stay with my children without a maid for longer than one day. My husband will stay with them for 1 week and he won't complain. He'll shower, he'll give them food, everything. So everybody has their strength and weakness. I have much weakness. I don't like getting my hands dirty, cleaning diaper. I tell him I've done it 3 times. Who is going to take these people from me? So he is an exceptionally good father. And shout out to the man I married. That's a good man.
Shout out, Daddy Niff. We appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate you. You're doing your thing.
I would say, like, it's currently maybe 50-50. Nato's a super involved parent in the day-to-day. Like, not from I love my kids. Mm. He's in the nitty-gritty. That's the kind of person that he is. I struggled with that.
What, with him being in the nitty-gritty or with you being in the nitty-gritty?
With him being in the nitty-gritty. earlier in my journey, I wasn't conditioned to men being that involved.
Got you.
And I didn't understand why he wanted to be so involved. I used to think that it was a reflection of how he felt about me as a mom.
Nicole, maybe I am actually in counseling and I don't even know.
And that's the tea. And so I felt, I'm like, but why are you, this is not you, man.
Stay in your place.
Exactly. But, and I didn't understand and accept the help and accept the love that he was trying to show me by showing up for me and our kids. I felt like it was, but what are you trying to say?
Oh my God.
What are you trying to say?
This is doing so much for me. Maybe
it took so long. Like, it took me a while. Obviously now, he doesn't even need to. I said, Nito, you know it's you that knows how to do this thing. Things like our kids, like shopping, I've never done it. Like, when it comes to, like, the clothes, Nato has, like, a system. He has, like, a
sheet. Why are they so good at that?
He is so
good. If Nif buys things for the children.
If I buy,
nonsense
and rubbish. The sizing will just be... Nato knows, and he even knows how to spread it out. Like, okay, if I now buy in the summer, this is the one they'll wear September to December, then I'll buy the one. He does this in quarters. He knows the sizing. He knows how to adjust. By this time, they should be wearing this size of shoe. So I'll buy it. But I don't like the one in America. It's London that I like the school shoe. The school shoe has to be in London. So he has to find who will go and who will buy, because he likes the one in Clarks. He doesn't like the one in America. America, they don't do good shoe like that. Nato. And I'll just be there like, okay. So...
That's who my husband is trying to do. I'm the one that is not allowing him.
Don't let him. It's an expression of his love for you. Yeah. For you to help you. So, like, accept the help wherever it comes from. And I feel like as moms, it's so difficult.
It's so hard.
Because we're supposed to know everything and be able to do everything. So, it's one of those things I had to, like, unlearn. It's a...
Took
me a minute.
See me. No, me here on... counseling. Like, it's actually, this is a word I'm gonna go home with. Thank you for this. Word for word, bar for bar, like, he'll be back. I'm just like, are you trying to say I can't shop for them?
No, it's not.
And it's like, why are we so defensive?
Exactly.
Why?
So it just goes to show there's, you know, work to do there.
Work to do. Jesus, that's a whole podcast episode.
So I feel like that's it. I feel like maybe that's what we're even going to pray about. Because you guys know, well, I don't know if you know by this time, but if you don't know, please hear us once again when we say that is a Christian mother's
podcast. Christian mothers.
No, sweet Christian women's organization. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. So
I don't know how to say that.
Squaw. Yeah.
What?
Sweet Christian woman.
We're going with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Squaw. And we like to kind of
end each episode.
End the episodes and just end the discussion with a prayer. And I think today we're gonna pray about letting our guards down.
Yeah, amen.
Almighty eternal God, we thank you for the conversation today. We thank you for the people who are listening to this episode. We pray for the moms who are battling with sensitivity around certain subjects, that feel insecure in their motherhood, because Lord, it is so easy to feel like you don't know what you're doing. It's so easy to feel like you're not doing enough. And it's so easy to reject help because you feel it's a reflection of where they are in their motherhood journey and their inadequacies. And Lord, we pray that you help them see that they are more than enough. We help them. We pray that you help them, you empower them, you enrich in them, and you help them accept the help when it comes. And Father, help all of us raise good humans and let them be a reflection of your glory. All this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, that was a good episode.
You ate with that prayer, girl.
Oh, stop.
You snapped. That was
okay.
Well done.
You know, she do be good.
Are you a deaconess? What do we call you?
Apostle.
Apostle. I love it. I'm a deaconess.
Okay. That's what we'll be doing.
So you're apostle and I'm a deaconess.
I love that for us. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
Oh, don't forget, episodes come out on Wednesday. Make sure you follow us on our socials. On Instagram, we're at Mommy Mayhem Pod. For the remaining ones, we'll let you know when they come up. Until next time, mwah.
No bars. See you next week, Wednesday. Bye.